By the Lord's grace, we are here, and we just thank you, our living Lord. You were dead, and you are alive forevermore. You make our lives more simple. You reduce us to simplicity, that is just us and you. And you give us a heart of concern and love for others, because your love constrains us, that we would not live to ourselves, but to you. You who died and rose from the dead. And by that life, we have something to build, to give to each other. Not as of ourselves, but as of you. So, as the world goes on and people discuss how to organize everything, we just say, Lord, show the leaders of the world how broken they are, how empty everything is, how we have no way outside and apart from you. And we thank you that you are to us the way, the truth, and the life. So please, would you open us your world, your word and your world a little bit more today, that we can take something with us that changes us one step at a time from glory to glory. In the name of the Messiah, Yeshua, the way, the truth, and the life, the Messiah of Israel, Savior of the world. Amen. The longer I live, the more simple my life becomes. I'm living by this. The Lord is my right, for all of us, it's the truth. My righteousness and my life. Equally as he is our righteousness, he is our life. I also like to be balanced and watch what is happening in the world. Why? Why should it concern me? Because it is God's world. And he's taking steps to prepare the scene for coming back. But this is a big thing. It's a big thing. And I believe that right now is a good moment to take a few steps like backwards and really to focus on who is he in our world, in his world. And so I wanted to go to a few scriptures and maybe we recap a little bit what we were discussing here moments ago. What really happens when we meet him in our spirit. Let's go to a few verses. The first one is in the book of Romans. This is a wonderful book. From the epistles, I especially love this too. Romans and Hebrews. I love them all. But these are like the two pillars. Like the two pillars in front of the temple. Hebrews and Romans. Romans and Hebrews. And Romans is more addressed to the general world. We could see the Gentile world. But don't be fooled. Paul says in Romans 7, he says, I speak to them that know the law. So, even though Romans is in a general world, it was written primarily to people that had been listening, peeking into the synagogues, to the readings of the Torah. They knew a lot about this. When he went into the topic of divorce and us living unto the Lord and not to the old creation, he said, I speak to them that know the law. Yeah. Okay, Romans 8, and here it is. This is just wonderful. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We could say it also that way, to them that are lovers of God. The lovers of God don't feel every moment like, hallelujah. They are many times in the valley, they face down like the psalmist. But even when they face down, they are the lovers of God. And how do they show their love to God? In millions of ways. Many times it's hallelujah, many times it's prayers, and many times it's our face down and saying, Lord, I don't want to get rid of you, but I have no idea what you're doing. But I still want you. I still know you love me. And I love you with the love that is not my own. It's your love. I love you back with your love. It comes in all these ways. And so when you feel down, and if you look into your own heart and say, I don't feel so much love for God. I don't even sense so much love for God. Oh, I wish I had love for God. Even that wish, I wish I had more love for God, for His things and for His kingdom, that is already a sign you are a lover of God. A regular person who is not his own doesn't worry about things, these things. He doesn't mourn that he doesn't have love for God. Hey, you're his own. You're a lover of God. The fact that even you're listening to this is a sign that you're a lover of God. Okay. To them that love God, who are lovers of God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, I often quote Aramaic, it's my favorite, but hey, let's quote Greek this time, Greek language. According to the purpose. In Greek, it's the same word as showbread, the arrangement of the showbread. So we are in His eternal purpose, just like the showbread on the table. For whom He did foreknow, then He did predestinate. And in Aramaic, you can translate it prefashioned to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren. We dealt many times with this, that it doesn't take away our free will in any way to say yes to Him or to say no to Him. But this is a sign that we are prefashioned. The world does not satisfy. The world does not fit us. In so many ways, this is my daily conversation with my wife. I open my door now to my living room or bedroom discussions with my wife. Our daily conversation is, I don't fit this world. The world does not fit me. I don't want the world. I don't want the world, even with my feeble efforts. I want God, because His desire is from His Spirit. And that's right. That's right, right. I don't even want my own ego. Yeah, it rises up, but it's sick, it's sick. That's a sign that we are prefashioned. Or one of the ways we see, we are prefashioned when nothing else fits. Many of us had the testimony years ago when we came to the Lord. We began to see that something is wrong with the world. Something is wrong. Everybody says the same thing. They have the same way. It just was crazy. But let's go to the good news. Moreover, whom He did predestinate or prefashioned, just like the, yeah, just like the showbread was placed on the table by divine hand, he knew us in eternity past. He's our good shepherd, whom he did predestinate, if we use that word, then he also called. He called us. And we heard the good shepherd's voice in John 10. We heard that voice. It was a different voice. Yeah, we have a free choice. But when I heard that voice, I was as if I had no choice. I knew this is my shepherd's voice. There's no other voice like that. There's no other voice. I have to follow. I have to. I can say to myself, I had a free choice. And I had a free choice. But I was as if I had no other choice. Everything else was disappeared. When he called, he called. He also justified. And then came a moment, we call it justification. Yes, that's what it is. That's a big topic. We're justified by his blood, Romans 5:9. But we also are justified in his spirit. And that's in 1 Corinthians 4. Sometime we have to go into it. But he justified us. That's when everything changed. He was no more our judge. As a judge of the universe, when he justified us, we became family members. Everything became a family matter. Now he says, the Lord Yeshua said, I go to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Now it is not a legal, there's no legal records against you. Everything is a matter of love and family discipline. I need family correction. We all do. But it's not by, yeah, the old way. We're new creation now. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. Aha! Some people, I listened to some preachers once speak about, one preacher preached about it. And whom he preached with full power, and whom he justified, he said, and then he will glorify. I went, oops, what happened? What happened to the text? Was it too strong a message whom he justified and glorified? Maybe he didn't understand it. I shouldn't be heavy-handed here. But it does say whom he justified, he glorified. Because God is not in time. God is not in time. It's a strong message. It's strong food. It takes a lot of faith to believe it. But I do believe. I do believe with a mustard seed faith that when he looks at us right now, he already sees us in eternity future. So when we are in the bottom of the pit of human experience, we connect to him again by calling on his name, and he will just give us one new promise at a time, next step at a time, strength to serve, yes, and to love in his loving, in that joint action. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What about these plans? They're planning this world in a new way. Now, I don't think there's too much room for faith in their plans. There isn't. There isn't. But look, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all these things. Yes, he gave his son, he gave the grace, so he'll give us anything we need. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Do you see yourself as chosen by God? Do you see yourself as that? I hope so. I hope so. Because if the world comes to us with rejection, whatever rejection we get from the world, it comes, it hits us on our face. You're nothing. You're like, in front of the world system, they show us this great Goliath of whatever. We're like nothing. But we are not like nothing when we know we're God's elect, God's chosen. It is God that justifies. Another thing, people can say whatever they want to say. It's God who is the judge. And God has given the judgment on us. We have eternal life. Now, in the family matters, he may need to correct us. And if we don't listen, he can give us discipline. But listen, there's a lot of grace here. There's a lot of grace how he deals with us. And by the way, I do believe that many things that are happening in the world now, in many, let's say, including mega churches, it's God's cleansing. And when God is cleansing and cleaning the house, we need to yield to it. There's no point to fight against God's cleansing. It's not good. When we yield to it, it's gonna yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Who is he that condemns? It's Messiah that died, rather he that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. He always lives to make intercession for us. And in Hebrews 7, around verse 25, it says, he ever lives, and he to save, and he intercedes for the purpose of saving us to the uttermost. But there's a little ambiguous language here. I need a more specific language here, so I have to go to Aramaic again. Ever lives, he lives to make intercession for us, that's clear, that he would save us to the uttermost. What is it in plain language? Save us to make us alive, to make us alive, to give us more life. Up to the uttermost is le'olam. Le alma, that means, the alma means for eternity, to give us life for eternity. So what is his plan? Once he has justified us, to keep giving us life, words of life, more life, eternal life, eternal life, endless life, forever. What we have to, I hope one of these days we'll really go deeper into it, and we need to go deeper into it. What this to be enlivened forever means. Once, it's not just a matter of a physical resurrection. Talk to the believers about being raised from the dead. I used to be in the same thinking until I really read the Word of God. I used to be in this thinking that resurrection is Yeshua was risen from the dead on the third day. So one day when the trumpet sounds and when the time is ripe, I'll be physically raised from the dead, which is true. Okay, quickly change, and then we go to be with the Lord. Very true. But I looked at it as an isolated event. As an isolated event. But it's not so in the writings of the apostles. We're actually in the resurrection right now. We're in the resurrection right now, right this moment. The difficulty is with translations. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 14, where the apostle talks about foods and belly and all these things. And then in verse 14 he says, God both has raised up the Lord. He raised up the Lord. Yeah, that has happened. Yes, yes. And will also raise us up by his own power. Oops. Check it in Aramaic. I didn't check it in Greek. I don't have time to study two languages not at the same time. I don't remember how it is in Greek. But I can tell you exactly what it's in Aramaic. It says, yeah, God raised up our Lord and also raises us up by his own power. In present tense. In present tense. Because we are right now in the process of resurrection. We talked about this verse in 1 Corinthians 15:45 already. That the new man, the last Adam, Yeshua, is now the life-giving spirit. Yes. So our spirit man is raised from the dead. It's already completed. Where is it? Ephesians 2:6. We've been raised together and our spirit is joined to his spirit. So we're in the heavenlies right now. We could talk about it like second floor and first floor. Our spirit man is like in the second floor, upper floor, and we're already alive. Our spirit is as alive as Yeshua. But our soul kind of hangs down here with our physical world. Okay, how about our soul? We are now, moment by moment, as we die daily to self, more and more resurrection is coming to us. This is not a feeling. I do believe it affects our feeling at times, but it's not dependent on our feeling at all. It's in faith. It's deep in our heart. And in our valley where we are, with our questions, with our unanswered prayers, with everything going crazy, there is the touch of life. We cannot even explain it. When it looks like hope is gone, God is just given a pulsation of life. Pulsation of life. There was a radio program in Tampere called Pulsation of Life. It was a very good radio program about how grace works in the darkest times by this grace of life. It's there. We are being raised. I'm being raised from the dead right now. If you're a believer, you're also. And that's why Paul's great message to Ephesians, okay, it is repent, but his message was, wake up. Wake up from the dead, and Messiah will give you light. Because you don't see his light unless you're waking up to this reality. Resurrection is working now. I decided today I won't speak very long, but I'm going to go to this amazing. I'm going to change this message a little bit so I don't go to too many topics. But let's go back to this amazing verse, 1 Corinthians 6:17. My weakness is always when I share or speak, I have many highways running through my mind and many thoughts, and I sometimes put too many things in one package. It's kind of like a smorgasbord of too many things. So I'll try to be more focused here. So I'm going to narrow onto this verse. 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He's first talking about not to commit adultery, because he that does it is so joined in the flesh to the wrong person. That is a sin, and it can be forgiven, but Paul warns people to avoid it by all means, to avoid this. So if anyone has failed here, it can absolutely be forgiven and wiped out and given a new start, like King David. Yes. So if anyone hearing this somewhere feels bad because maybe you got in this trouble, when you're forgiven, you're totally justified. But then avoid it with all ways, because it's joining to the wrong person. For the two will become one flesh. And we want to be very, very clean here. Very, very clean. But then the point here is 1 Corinthians 6:17. And he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. It looks like it's almost like a side note that he speaks about the spirit, because he's addressing the problem that people are misusing their bodies in Corinth. And Corinth was a wild city. It was like San Francisco. People did wild things. And so Paul is trying to bring them back after they are born again in the Holy Spirit, not to go back to these things, but to really, by the power of God's Word and the living Spirit, to walk the clean way. Now let's focus on 6:17. This is not a side note. It's really the highway. It's really the highway, though it looks different. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So let me go in a few words into this word, joined. Joined to the Lord. It's not like joining a group or joining some society or joining a synagogue or joining a church or whatever. The word nagaf, or in Aramaic, it's very much like the Hebrew word today. When I got my car insurance, there was the same insurance that if you come into a close contact with a car, so you touch another car, that's the word, you touch so much that it hurts. Now a car doesn't feel hurt, but it gets hit, it touches, it gets, there's a hit, that's what the word really is. So this is the word. Now in Psalm 118, that's where the psalmist says that the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. And Yeshua speaks about that same in the Gospels. And he says, he that falls on this stone gets hurt. He hits it. This is the same idea exactly. Because we come into contact, that stone is strong, and We are so different than this stone. But on whom the stone falls? People that reject this stone. And then if the stone falls on this stone, it grinds into powder. That's the same image as in the book of Daniel. You remember when there was a stone cut without man's hand that will come in the last days and it will crush the statue, the feet of the statue, and the whole statue will come down. By the way, whatever plans they are planning in Davos, God help them. But any systems that men built without God, they're gonna come down. They're gonna come down. But let's come back to this point now. When God has to break us, His purpose is not to break us. That's not the end goal. His purpose is to join us to Himself in divine human marriage. This is not physical marriage, that we'd be joined to Him, to the most loving God in divine human marriage. But I, as an individual, I'm wild. My ways were wild. Even if I tried to be nice, I had my plans, my way, controlled by my understanding, and it included blindness to many sinful ways. So how does this collision come about? It comes like this. When we meet the Lord, our conscience somehow is awakened. Okay, we have our human spirit that is totally like dormant. It's in a way, it's in a state of deep sleep. I will just say very quickly, even though that is a big topic. We are in a state of sleep, like dormant, like unconscious in our spirit, in our heart, in our conscience. So what part does God awaken in us? It's not enough to be awakened in our intellect, even though that may be one of the steps. Our conscience has to be awakened, which includes God is right and I'm wrong. When I was born, I was always right. I told it to my parents, I was right. I told it to everybody, I was right. I tried to convince them that I was right. Were you any different than me? I don't think so. Maybe you were more polite, but we always thought we were right because we had this orphan spirit. I gotta control everything. The world is against me, or maybe not exactly in those words, but I have to take care of myself. It's me, it's I, it's me, it's my way. I have to have the control. And when my parents started to control me and say, I want you to do this, that's good for you. Dad, you don't know anything. You think you know? I'm 7 years old, I know. This is our independent way. But when we meet God, we meet our Maker, our Creator. And there is a point where there is a shaking, where there's a shaking and a collision course. We have to come to that collision course at some point. Now, God does it, let me put it that way. God does it as gently as possible. There are some people that are very broken. A lot of broken people in the world. He does it as gently as possible. Just like a surgeon who does his work with a surgeon's knife as skillfully and gently as possible. But there is some pain involved always. It is not painless. just like when we engraft a branch into a tree, the branch has to be cut to fit that tree. My world doesn't fit God's world until something is broken in me. So how do we get there? How was the tree cut? Well, that tree, which is, Yeshua said, I am the vine of truth, he's already cut. Where was he cut? When he was on a cross and they took that spear, he also had marks in his hands and his feet and all that. But when they ran the spear through his heart and blood and water came out, that's why Yeshua speaks about being born of water and the Spirit. Water and the Spirit. Blood and water came out of his side. And that's where there was place made for you, for me, and anybody that would come. So he's the living tree. He is the living tree. And there's room for us to join him so we can get eternal life. And that happens when we get justified from our sins by looking to him. Now, what happened to Miriam, Mary, the mother of Yeshua? Miriam. You remember what the prophet Zachariah said to him? He prophesied to Mary, Miriam, and also through your heart will the spear go through. Now, in English Bibles, which go from Greek, it says, the sword will pierce your heart. Well, we could connect it to Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So that's fine. That also does a job, that text. That's good. But literally, you may not believe me, but this is the most ancient gospel. And there it says, through your heart also shall the spear run through. So when Miriam, Mary, saw Yeshua hanging on the tree, and then after all the suffering, the soldier came with the javelin or the spear and ran it through his heart here between the ribs, under the ribs and where the heart is, and the water and blood cast down. That spear not only ran through Yeshua's heart physically, but it also in a very real way in the soul of the mother, it devastated the mother. So here's the thing. I believe we are caught in two ways. When I see I am nothing, I can do nothing to save myself. My every breath I have, I owe it to the Lord. And then I'm a rebel. I've had my own way. And before this wonderful suffering Messiah, all my holiness is even as filthy rags.
Yes.
Well, that way I'm cut. But when I see what he went through, that's really where my heart is cut. It's cut. Something changed. And when I come in contact with God, as a creature that is sinful, I come in contact with him. He comes gracefully. He has only good intentions. But my strange thoughts and sinfulness hits and makes it a collision. Okay. But he was already cut. And when I come in contact with him. I am cut. There's a collision. Whatever way it works, now something changes. But where does the healing come? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And in his stripes, we were healed, And nirpalanu, if we put it into Aramaic, because they insert Aramaic words into the prophecies, so we can say it also, we were healed, and also we will be healed. So this, even in the past we're healed, and we forever will be healed. The healing life takes care of the healing. Okay, very good. I'd like to use the illustration. My name could be Philip, because Philip means fond of horses. I love horses. I'm already thinking about riding on a white horse one of these days. If the Lord helps me, amen. With you. But I love to see how they train horses. There are horse trainers that train horses that have been mistreated, ill-treated, and they calm them down. They know how to work for the healing. And the horse comes with all kinds of fears, and then the trainers, they work on those aspects, and they calm down the horse. They take the wildest horse that nobody can ride, and they know how to get their permission, whatever they do, by showing them in action and tapping them on the right place where they are, they have fears. And within an hour, usually, at least they can get the saddle on, and in most cases they can even ride with a little bit of work. They can ride the horse when the horse's fears are being calmed. So we're not only sinful, there's another problem. We have these crazy fears that come from our orphan spirit, I shall say. So the sin aspect is one which is paid for, but we have those wild ways. The Lord comes as the Father. The Lord comes as the Father, and Yeshua, the Messiah, brings us as the Spirit of the Son, where our prayer becomes more personal. It's not just, dear God, creator of the heavens and the earth. That's already good. But now that Spirit prays in us, Father, my Father, our Father, our Father, our Father, my Father, either way. Now we, our fears get dealt with. Okay, one of the disciples called Simon Kepha, or Peter, when he got the great catch of fish, what did he say to the Lord? He said, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. Go away from me. I'm not worthy. I don't fit with you. I'm a misfit with you. I'm not compatible. I can never be compatible with you. The Lord is not going to go away, because he knows how to calm our fears. So with some people, this meeting the Lord, the collision, can be more, less radical. We can quietly go down and say, yes, you, not me. Here I am. Say me, whatever. Here I am. Just, I open my heart to you. Whatever. I believe in you. Whatever. It can happen even quietly more. But with some, it's a battle. It's about, because of our independence. I love the expression how the Comanches, as a student of horses, I'm a student of horses and horsemen. I learned more from them than theologians. Sorry. Okay. So they would go and rope a horse. They call it roping or lassoing a horse. And then when that happened, a wild horse, and then they would jump down from their own horse and wrestle with a rope with the horse to the point that the horse is exhausted. Oh, they were very strong. They were powerful. They would wrestle down until the horse is absolutely exhausted and just collapses on the ground from the exhaustion. And then the Comanche would go friendly way and just lay on the horse and embrace the horse and hug the horse and breathe into the horse's nostrils to calm the fears. Well, that's actually what, it's an amazing example of how our Lord did to us. He met us. He gave us a glimpse of what He did for us when He paid for our sins, when He took the sins of the world. Somehow He caused us to see that in our hearts. When that really happens, we see who He is. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the true Son of God, a true Son of Man. And He did that for us. Something is communicated not just to our natural mind, but to our spirit. And when that happens, we're justified in the spirit. Actually, it's literally justified in His spirit. That's the same as justified by His blood. We get what happened. We get it in our hearts. And His blood cleanses us. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing, how we're cleansed by His sacrifice. And then from that point, we cannot just go back to things as they were before. We cannot. Something happened. Something happened. And then starts amazing walk. Walk in the new creation. And step by step, our fears that belong to that orphan world, that independent self, our fears get calmed down. I will close here, but I need to point one more item here. As in dealing with these horses, when the horse trainers purchase a horse that has been maltreated, sometimes it takes a lot of treatment. Not just one day, but an extended time, extended period of time to calm their fears. There's that aspect. To calm their fears and to show them in a very clear and friendly way that this is nothing dangerous. The new owner shows, I am your friend and I'm for you, but I need your cooperation by your willingness. I'm not going to force anything. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. One of the biggest troubles actually is because religion today is given us in so many ways, is to walk us back from those false fears, which we've called it orphan spirit. These are the shadows. Remember in Song of Songs, the writer says, I will hide myself in the cleft of the rock and in the steps, in a stairway, that's power of His death and His resurrection. I'll hide myself in the Messiah as my rock until the shadows flee away. Our fears are paper walls. Do I have them? Yeah, I have them, but I know they're paper walls, so I don't worry about them. When they come, you know, I call on the name of the Lord. We'll talk about this another time. But if anybody hearing this feels like, I still have many of these fears, I still don't know how to walk out of them, do not worry. Our heavenly trainer knows that. He knows everything. We are not orphans. And he's walking with us. That's the same idea as the shepherd. 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 He's shepherding us from eternity past to eternity future. And we are justified people. When we're justified, he's saying, you're in my flock. No one is going to hurt you. I have this staff and I have my rod. And no wolf is going to get you. No wolf is going to get you. But you need to do only one thing. Stay close to me. Even if you go astray, I'll find you. But stay close to me. Close to me. Make my work easier. Don't get far. Don't get far. I am for you. So if God be for us, who can be against us? And we want to walk this way, the most holy way. So he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. The life-giving spirit has come into us, and we are now in the process of resurrection. It's not just that we will be raised from the dead. That is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In the present tense, in the Aramaic text, there's no mistake about it. Amen.